Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on?
Back in studio today.
So I got to tell you, I pulled a Burnsy yesterday.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. What did you do?
I absolutely pulled a Burnsy yesterday.
What did you do? You went to the movies by yourself?
Didn't go to the movies by myself.
You ate peanut butter out of the jar with a spoon?
Did not eat peanut butter out of the jar with a spoon.
Those are two of my favorite things to do. What did you do?
So I sat there last night, right? You know I was in favor of the LaMelo decision to pull his starters and play all the backups, right?
Yes, you were.
I thought it was a good idea.
You actually thought it was a good idea, yeah.
Right, but I sat there last night and I said, all right, I'm not watching. I'm not going to. I'll tape it. I'm not going to watch it. So I watched Goodfellas. Goodfellas was on.
Karen!
I watched it.
Was it on AMC?
I don't know what it was on.
Okay, well, apparently.
I don't know what it was on.
Now you ran on your friends and always keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. And Joe Pesci was about to be made, and then he gets whacked.
Whacked right in the head.
And in a helicopter.
Oh, I know. Following
around
Ray Liotta.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh.
And then he shoots the guy in the foot, and then a week later, he shoots him and kills him.
Okay, see now. Okay,
bury him body. I never do this. Never. I watched Goodfellas last night. I'm like, Diamondbacks or Goodfellas? I'm watching Goodfellas.
And it was just on. It was just on
it
the
was
TV.
Just on.
You just randomly just found it.
I was just, let me, you know, it's one of those things where I was like, let me see. Goodfellas. I'm in. Play it.
Okay,
watch the whole thing start to finish. Ended at about 10:30 last night or something. I watched it.
Here's the thing.
That's you.
That is me. That's totally something I would do. I thought we were friends. I thought we were boys.
I should have let you know.
Why didn't you text me the channel?
Oh,
why didn't you tell? Hey, Burnsy, Goodfellas, 2:54. Go get it.
God, it's such a great movie.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. That movie didn't win Best Picture.
They're in jail. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminded me of when they were in jail. Remember when they were in jail and they're making
they're
sauce?
They're making the sausage and the sauce and the Paul Sorvino's cooking it up.
So
yeah.
The mob, you know, because my family was all mob. So my uncle Tony, the mob had him work at the jails.
Oh, yeah?
So my Uncle Tony he worked at the jails through the mob. Like, they got him a job so he could take care of everybody, get everything in, get everything out. So, like, when I was watching that part, I'm like, oh, man, that was my Uncle Tony. So my Uncle Tony worked in the jails for the mob to make sure that the guys that were in jail were able to get whatever they needed.
From Uncle Tony to Uncle Gracie, our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Going deep brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Every day.
You did like the fact that Torrey Lovello sat Paul Goldschmidt and David Peralta and Eduardo Escobar and AJ Pollock last night in favor of Ildemaro Vargas and Christian Walker and Patrick Kivlahan and Chris Owings. Somebody else liked it.
I loved it.
Mark Grace this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I'm an old ball player, and we're not the smartest guys in the world, but we're smart enough to know that a message is being sent right here.
Right.
And I would imagine Goldie probably, hopefully, went and said, you know what? See that lineup right there? That lineup right there ain't nothing but the damn truth. I don't think a whole lot really needed to be said, guys.
Right.
I think the lineup makes its own statement.
It's sort of like Mike Zimmer the other day when he cut his kicker, right?
Yeah.
Somebody asked him about it, and he said, did you see the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, did you have to think about it? No, I didn't have to think much about it at all. I cut my kicker.
Now, after the Goodfellas is over, I go back, and I've got the MLB app that I steal from you.
Yes.
And I went back and I watched everything, right? I went back and I watched, literally was able to watch like just about everything. And I watched, the gigantic home run by Walker and the two triples by, how do you say his name?
Kivlahan.
Kivlahan. And so I'm watching, and the first thought, God, why didn't he do this earlier? God, why did he not do this earlier? Just mental break, throw it out there. Instead of benching this guy, I'm going to rest AJ today. I'm going to rest Goldie tomorrow. Just one day, I'm going to rest all you guys. So you just wonder, I wonder if in his mind he's thinking, damn, I should have done that earlier. I should have done that 2 weeks ago. I should have. 2 weeks ago, I should have done this.
It's a fair question. I think the counterpoint to that is that in fairness to the Diamondback situation, and not necessarily in fairness to Torrey, but in fairness to the Diamondback situation, think about it. This is pretty much the one button that Torrey Lovello has pushed that has worked the last 3 weeks, right?
Right.
Just about every button he's tried. What about this? No. Let's try that. No. What about this one? What does this red button here do? Yeah, no, that's not doing anything either. This one button.
The lost button.
He's entering the numbers in the hatch, and this was the one button that actually, there has not been a lot that Torrey Lovello has tried that has worked. Bullpen decisions, every single one of them failing. Leaving starters in too long, taking them out too soon. Every single one of those decisions are failing. So
right.
Could he have tried this sooner? He could have, but you can probably see why he waited as long as he did. He was like that guy at the tables who, no matter how well he was playing cards, kept busting.
Now,
every single hand he was busting.
Now, the biggest question is, do you run that lineup back out there again today?
He was asked that question last night and said this.
Probably not right now. Maybe. This lineup was prepared and excited, and I just felt like they were going to go out and execute an energized game plan, and that's really what I was looking for.
Probably not. Now, Gracie, I don't know if you've got the Gracie cut.
Do I have the Gracie cut, Jordan, where he says he would absolutely run those guys out there again?
Gracie said he'd run them out there.
Yeah, Jordan's going to look for it. I don't know if I have it here in front of me.
I agree with Gracie. Run them out there. Let's go. See what they got. Let the other guys cheer them on. The season's over. You're only playing for numbers.
Sure. Your elimination number now is 4 with the Dodgers win last night. By the way, Yasiel Puig off the bench. Of all people.
3-run homer.
Of all the people on that team to hit the go-ahead 3-run homer, it has to be you.
Yasiel Puig? Crunching the numbers,
they're going to clinch here.
Did you, after Goodfellas was over, did you sit down and start crunching numbers?
I looked at it. They're going to clinch here. They are.
That's not.
Unless the Diamondbacks can lay down like dogs to Colorado.
Well, maybe if you're starting Patrick Kivlahan again, I don't know. Maybe you can.
Go back to the starters. They can't hit.
Lovello said, well, then this is good news, because Lovello last night said, we are definitely going to go with a different lineup on Friday.
Yeah. I will definitely go with a different lineup on Friday. You're going to see the main guys back in.
And he mentioned yesterday after the game. So before the game, he's awkwardly trying to explain why he's sitting four of his top players and going with these other guys. And Chris Owings, I feel bad throwing him into the category. He's a major league player. He's had a bad year. He was down in the minors.
Yeah, Chris Owings has always been a good baseball player.
He's had a bad year.
He's had a bad year, but he's always been a good player.
I mean, no offense to the Christian Walkers and the Vargases and the Kivlahans. CEO's in a different category, right?
Totally agree.
Lovello said after the game, man, it was kind of awkward telling you guys, but now that it worked out, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
You know, obviously it was very awkward sitting before you guys before the game telling you that we were going to rest some of our starters. But, you know, I felt like the time was right. It worked out well. And like I said, I was really, really proud of everybody's effort today.
Because, you know, I mean, I know you liked it. My reaction to it yesterday, I think, was in line with a lot of Diamondback fans. Like, oh, that is it.
I liked it.
That is the most give up white flag an organization could possibly fly, right? Well, we're just going to sit Goldie and Pollock and
But I think those guys needed a mental break. They'd been pushing so hard for so long. And then when you finally get to the realization that it's over, you know, just take a day, man. Sit back, relax, cheer the other guys on. Like, give them their opportunity. Give them their opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what, here's Grace this morning with Doug and Wolf.
Like I said last night, man, if it's me, I'm running those boys right back out there again on Friday.
I totally agree. I'm running those guys right back. I would too. I mean, I would too. I would let those guys play again. No, I'm not going to let him play the final, what is it, 9 games left now? Is it 9?
Yes, 9 games left.
The final 9 games. I'm not going to do that, but would I give them 2 games in a row? Yeah, I'd give them 2 games in a row.
Gracie was solid this morning. Those Dodger losses that we've talked about. Oh, yeah. Mark Grace was from Fox Sports Arizona, was on point today with Doug and Wolf.
These players say all the right things. Oh, well, you know. We played well, and we got to shake this off and come back tomorrow. It's not that stinking easy, guys. It's just not. We're human beings. Losses sting, especially losses like that. You know, if you get beat by 4, 5, 6 runs, okay, that's a little easier to dust off and say,
right,
all right, you know. But when you lose in the fashion that they lost there the first couple of weeks of September, and you know, to teams like the Dodgers, you know, the Matt Kemp games,
yes,
and then the DJ LeMahieu, and those are just, oh God, you want to throw up and continue to throw up.
I love Gracie.
The last baseball player who was
a chain smoker.
Oh God, you want to throw up.
Uncle Gracie is the best.
He is.
We tip our cap to you today, Mark Grace, for bringing it this morning on Tug and Wolf, because you're absolutely right. Off day today for the Diamondbacks, as I mentioned, the elimination number is now 4 for them to be eliminated. And I hope it doesn't happen. And you know what?
Look at it. If the Dodgers, on the last day that they play the Diamondbacks, okay, if they're up by 4 over Colorado, it's over.
Yeah. And right now it's 2.5 over Colorado,
it's
right?
2.5. Is it 3 in the lost column? I'd have to look.
I'd have to look too. Give
but
me a second.
2.5. They just swept them. Colorado's got to be demoralized right now because they just got swept by the Dodgers. And two of those losses were Chris Taylor walk off in the 10th. Yasiel Puig pinch hit 3-run homer in the 7th. I mean, devastating losses for the Rockies. But when the Arizona Diamondbacks play the Dodgers, if they're up by 4 with 3 to play, then it's over.
2 in the loss column.
Okay.
2 in the loss column.
So if they pick up 2 more games between now and the final game between the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, they could clinch here. And God, I hope not.
Come out and
I actually said that in my prayer last night.
Did you really?
I said my prayers every night. And I said, God, would you please not let the Dodgers clinch here, Chase Field? I'd really appreciate it.
I think I'm going to pray for Goodfellas to be on again tonight so I can watch it.
Oh, Goodfellas
was so good. Text me last night. Since you didn't text me and say, hey, I know there's nothing on. Join us tomorrow live from Albertsons on 83rd Avenue in Deer Valley in Peoria. The best part of that movie, though, I swear.
What was your favorite part?
I'll finish the bus read. When he, being Ray Liotta, goes into his car, his glove compartment, and he takes the gun out.
Yeah.
And he goes across the street, and he just smacks down the guy who was mistreating Karen. I mean, he doesn't even hesitate. He goes right to the car, pulls out the gun, walks over. Boom! Right between the eyes with the gun. Oh, I love that scene every single time. Makes me laugh every
time.
Can't
be made unless you're 100% Italian.
Nothing more hilarious than a good old-fashioned pistol whipping.
it's in the context of the movie. It's funny, right? In the context, because it just sets up. And Karen, she sees it happening. She's like, oh, that's my man right there. That's my guy. I'm going to marry that guy. I love that guy because he just pistol whipped this jerk boyfriend
on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, where was I? I could talk about that movie all day. Tomorrow, 83rd Avenue, Deer Valley in Peoria at the Albertsons, giving away tickets to upcoming games, plus telling you how to win some incredible prizes through Safeway and Albertsons Score Great Deals promotion this football season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. It's only the third week of the season. Is Sunday going to be Josh Rosen Day? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Today on ESPN.com, Bill Barnwell, one of their longtime NFL writers, ranked the 0-2 teams and their chances of making the playoffs. He wrote of the Cardinals, at 0-2, they're already done for 2018. Oof. And, I mean, there was a whole lot of other things he wrote about the Cardinals, but that was the one that just, like, sore thumb, just popped off the page. Like,
I want to wait another week.
Yeah?
I want to wait another week. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a part of me, I know they're not this bad. I know they're not this bad. I know they're much better than this. So let me see what happens in the Bears game. If they get throttled by the Bears, I'll come in here Monday. Okay, it's totally over. There's no chance.
Yeah.
Now, I know teams that are 0-2, chances to make the playoffs are about 12%.
Yep.
But it's happened almost every year in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, right? Something like that?
Every year since 2012, there's been at least one team that started 0-2 to get there.
5 years. 12 yeah. or 5, 6 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready because I still, like, there's still a part of me that is, like, almost shell-shocked that they're this bad. And I think they're better, and I believe they're better. So let me see the Bears game. Let me see what happens in this Bears game.
Okay.
I am not, I'm not buying that they're dead and buried yet. And everybody, maybe there's a lot of other people that have, but I want one more game. And then if they lose to the Bears, I'll agree they're dead and buried.
Okay, this is one of those, and we talk about this a lot on this show. This is one of those, my head tells me one thing, my heart tells me another thing.
Yeah.
You know, and my head is telling me that not only are they 0-2, man, they're historically bad 0-2, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're not garden variety. They're not the Houston Texans 0-2 this year, or the Seahawks. I think they've lost their first two games by a combined 10 points. I mean, they've been competitive in both games they've played. The Cardinals are not only 0-2, they're a historically bad 0-2. My head tells me that this team cannot come back from this. My heart, the part of me that, like you, and it's a perfect phrase to use, shell-shocked, stunned, almost blinded, not literally, of course, but almost blinded about how could it be this bad? That part of me does not want to believe it's done,
Jordan,
and wants to wait.
Jordan, write this down, because just get your bet book, because I know Burns, he's not even going to hesitate this. I'll take the Cardinals in the game this weekend against the Bears.
To win?
Lunch bet.
To win?
To win. I didn't even think you'd take 2 seconds to answer that one. I did not even think you'd take 2 seconds.
Have you ever heard the phrase sucker bet?
Everybody,
I know, but
everybody's picking the Bears.
There's a bet where it's just like so obvious.
Shocked that you haven't taken it. I am shocked that you have not taken this bet yet.
I haven't not taken it yet. All right, fine, put me down.
Babalugas, we got a bet here.
I'm taking the Cardinals over the Bears this weekend.
We got a bet.
The lunch bet.
No line, straight up.
I mean, Jordan, is that a dumb bet by me?
Yeah, I don't think this is any sort of sucker bet, Brent.
No, I think this would be classified as free lunch.
Yeah.
Are we classifying this as a free lunch on Gambo?
I would be like, yeah, take it. Put it before he changes his mind. Hurry, take it. Take it.
I'll take it.
You want the Cardinals have scored 3 points in two games. You want them? You can have them.
Take it.
And again, I could be dead wrong.
Okay.
I could be dead, and I've been dead wrong before. I could be dead wrong here. I got a hunch.
Play that hunch. Ride it.
Got a hunch.
See what happens. Maybe lunch on Gambo next week. Two prominent NFL writers earlier in the week, what was it, on Tuesday, with your idea, we made the case for and against Josh Rosen this week.
Oh, yeah, it was fun writing.
It was really fun. We did it like at 15 after every hour, for the case for, the case against. A couple of prominent NFL writers have both weighed in on the case for Josh Rosen. Doug Farrar, in a mailbag, responding to a woman named Jill. Jill, if it were me, I'd get Rosen out there now. Tape shows me a Sam Bradford I haven't seen in a while. He's mechanically inconsistent. He's trying to get things done, but it's just not working. Working behind a subpar offensive line exacerbates the problem, and I suspect the problem would be far worse if Bradford wasn't getting rid of the ball so quickly. So here we're giving Bradford grief for getting rid of the ball as fast as he is, and Farrar saying, man, if he doesn't, he's probably toast behind that offensive line.
Yeah, but you know what? You got it. The problem is, and again, I did not have this available to me after the game on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. I had it available to me yesterday. The plays that he is making, it's literally two steps, get rid of the ball. Two steps, get rid of the ball. There are no, let me make a read, progressions. Usually what a quarterback does, you drop back and you've got your look. I'm gonna go from left to right. Okay, that's the out pattern, not open. That's the hook, not open. That hook, that's not open. Okay, I'm gonna dump it to the running back. Okay, now you're gonna see, I'm gonna go from right to left. Okay, that out, that's not open. That hook, that's open. I'm gonna hit the hook. So he's not making the reads and the progressions. And it's very, very obvious in the tape that I have that he's just getting rid of the ball to the first guy. Whatever the play call is, that's the guy. I'm going to that guy. But I'm not, even if that guy's covered, he's going to him. Because there are open plays on the field that he is not going to the open guy because he's trying to get rid of the ball so quickly.
Yeah.
That is a major no-no.
Oh, well, that's the biggest. It's been the biggest concern, I think, for all Cardinal fans the first couple of weeks. Is he looks like a guy who's just in a big rush to get rid of the quarterback. This story from AZ Central, from Bob McManaman. Wilkes is also making sure rookie quarterback Josh Rosen is ready. Rosen politely declined an interview with AZ Central Sports on Wednesday, saying he might be available in a group setting later this week. Wilkes, quote, "You look at Josh, he's locked in at practice. He's doing the little things he needs to do to try to get every little details that he needs. I think he's locked in, and I think he's still growing and progressing each and every day. Today, offensive coordinator Mike McCoy says if Rosen is called upon, he is ready.
I think, you know, everybody's ready to play. Everyone, you know, you always talk to the players, the whole entire group, the entire team. They're all good to go.
And I'll tell you this right now. You want to talk bets here, all right?
Yeah, I probably just lost lunch. But
if the Cardinals fall behind as badly in the first half as they did in weeks one and two, you will see Josh Rosen in the second half.
Totally agree.
Against the Bears.
Totally agree.
You will see him.
Yeah. If they're down at home.
I'm not reporting that as fact. I'm just saying I can't imagine they can endure another first half the way they have the last 2 weeks and not put him out there.
You're going to the game Sunday. I'm going to the Cardinal game Sunday. We'll both be there. The fans are going to be, if they're down 19-0 or something, like they're going to be calling for Bradford's head.
Yep.
They're going to want Rosen. Give me something. Spent a lot of money on this ticket. I want Rosen. Give me Rosen now.
Give me a reason to keep watching. Pete Prisco this morning on Bickley and Murata, another NFL insider nationally, said same thing as Doug Farrar. I'd sit Bradford down.
To be honest with you, I would sit Bradford down. If it was me, and I'm a big believer in you always play the kid as soon as you possibly can, but Bradford has opened up the door quicker than I think even they thought it would be opened.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been bad, and you can't count on that.
And part of the reason why?
They thought they would maybe be a team that could sneak in for a wild card spot, and that's not happening. So I'm a big believer, and once you realize that, then you got to get on with it and play Josh Rosen.
The hard part is realizing that after two games. You know how hard, and that goes to part of your reasoning about, you know, thinking that they might win this week and not wanting to count them out just yet. You know how hard it is after 2 weeks of NFL football to say, oh, that's it, they're not making the playoffs. It hurts.
Sure.
To think that way about your local team.
I feel like that way with my wife. Like, my wife bought some, like, really nice pieces of furniture that were, like, you know, like selection only, like you can't take them back. And now she's like, oh, I'm going to sell it. I don't really like it. I'm like, what?
What?
You just bought it like a month ago.
What?
Yeah, like one of a kind pieces. Like, shit. And then she's like, I don't know that it really fits. Talking about, that's like with Sam Bradford. Like, you bought it, you're stuck with it, you paid
sit
for
on
it.
I bought that couch, sit on that couch.
No, she's like, she buys it like these one of a kind pieces, and then she gets it, and now after months, she's told me like she doesn't like two of them. I'm like, what? No, like that's Sam Bradford. He's that one of a kind piece. You can't bring it back.
Oh God, you want to throw up?
Yeah, you're stuck with it. You paid the money. You're not getting your money back. There it is. I'm stuck with that $1,500 table, whatever it is she bought.
$1,500. Throw up and continue to throw up.
$1,500 table, you're going to get $20 for at a garage.
Like, yeah, but that's Sam Bradford. That's not just like the piece my wife buys and then she doesn't like it a month later.
Oh, we're off to a good start today. We're going to have a fun show today. I can just tell. There's still time to turn things around, but if this season continues the way it's trending, how could that affect the future of Larry Fitzgerald? We'll dig into that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
What sort of return on Gambo's furniture investment will he get? A, less than 50%. B, less than 25%. C, less than 10%. D,
we called her
he's
during
taking
the break.
It to Goodwill.
Vince Murata just came in and goes, I was cringing when you told that story.
If you missed it, if you're just tuning into the Burns and Gambo Show, Gambo compared Sam Bradford to some furniture that his beautiful wife, Chelsea,
just bought.
Just bought.
And now doesn't want.
And
you can't bring it back. It's one-of-a-kind pieces.
The furniture costs a lot of money. And just don't want them anymore.
Yeah, one-of-a-kind pieces. I don't like them. I thought I would like them, but I don't.
You just need to know the right place to sell them. If you're only getting 10% back, you're not selling it in the right place.
Well, if you...
We asked her, how much did you spend? I mean, we just called her on a cell phone. She spent $2,000 on this stuff.
First world problems, Andy.
That's Sam Bradford. You spent a lot of money on Sam
Hashtag
Bradford.
Hashtag Gambo problems.
Hashtag Gambo problems. Yes, that's it. That's it. Hashtag Gambo problems.
I always say, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Isn't that a song from
the
50s?
It's a song.
So is Gambo.
Take it to heart.
Gambo is also
Gambo's
from the 50s.
Gambo's a song from the 50s.
Gambo's a song
it's
from
a
the
song
50s.
From the 70s, and it's good advice.
I have a wonderfully low-maintenance wife.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
It's
baby,
good
if you're listening, I love you. I love my low-maintenance wife. I do. Andy, what's poll question today?
What has been the biggest surprise of the Cardinals season so far? 51% say low David Johnson usage. 27% say Sam Bradford's poor play. 13% say Buck and Reddick not playing, and 9% say last in tackles by 16.
Oh, man, it's just not tackling. Wow.
Cardinals have 89 tackles. Dallas is 31st with 106.
I would throw another one in there. I mean, yards after the catch, like zero.
I guess that's 17.
Like yeah. No yards after the catch. None, catch, know. Tackle, catch, tackle, catch. They can't get a yard after the catch. No, that's separation. Why the yards per attempt is like 3.
Wow, that's a loaded question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. That's really going to cheer up your day here on the Burns and Gambo show. But Gambo believes in the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. He has made a lunch bet with me that the Cardinals will win.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're
it's a lunch bet.
You're an emotional guy. You want to believe because you don't want to believe.
I just don't believe
that it's
that
over.
This bad.
You don't
want to
believe that it's over.
After all this furniture talk, Bernsey, it may not be fair to take a lunch from Gambo.
I know. I feel like, you know what? Just
no. He always says I have a semi-charmed kind of life. Like I have the life. They see you don't know the problems that I have. Yeah, because I have a smoking hot wife.
There's nothing.
Good job and all of this stuff. Like, you don't understand. There are real Gambo problems out there.
You're wrong. There's nothing semi-charmed about your life at all. It is fully, 100%, completely vested and charmed. There is nothing right. semi-charmed about your life
but
one bit.
It comes with problems.
Yeah. Gambo problems.
Yeah.
Hashtag Gambo problems. Hashtag first world problems. Hashtag
high maintenance.
Problems for the Arizona Cardinals is that Larry Fitzgerald has 10 catches, 104 yards, no touchdowns.
I was thinking about this today. We've never seen Fitz have a bad year. Like, we've seen him, his numbers go down when they moved him to the slot, and but then he was able to get them back up. So there was some year, you know, a couple of years where, okay, he's not the great Fitz, but he's still good. His production this year, he's on pace for like 80 catches.
80 catches, 832 yards.
But 832 yards.
These are the numbers you sent me.
He does not have a touchdown yet through two games. I mean, if Larry Fitzgerald ends up with 70 catches for 750 yards, like we don't really, that's not the Fitz that we know. I mean, it's now, again, he did have that, you know, he did have that little lull when I think Bruce first got here. We had a couple of lean years. But we've never seen him, but he was still young then, okay? He was still young. Now he's older.
Right.
Like, I just can't imagine what it would be like to have Fitz have a bad year.
I'm looking to see what I would consider to be the worst Larry Fitzgerald year since he's been here. Throwing out his rookie season, of course, when he caught 58 balls for 780 yards. The worst year that Larry Fitzgerald has had in terms of receptions and yards, just eyeballing it, I would say was 2014. When in 14 games, he had 63 catches for 784 yards and two touchdowns.
Give me those numbers again.
63 catches, 784 yards, two touchdowns.
How many games?
He started in 13. He played in 14.
Okay, so he missed three games.
He missed three games. I mean,
okay, which those numbers go up. If he has six catches a game, that's 18 more catches. That could be 300 more yards.
His worst full season?
Yes, give me that.
Is probably 2012, 16 games. 71 catches, 798 yards.
Yeah, that's not a typical
four touchdowns.
Year. That's not, and that was
2012.
First year variance?
No, first year variance was 2013.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Arians.
So that
first
was when
year
he. Was so that's when he was playing with. Was that Derek Anderson?
Oh, that was the Ryan.
Ryan Lindley.
Yeah.
Skelton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was that year.
Okay, so like that, it is interesting to see like how would this affect Fitz's ability to come back next year? Would he?
Well,
if this team goes 4-12 and Fitz has 800 yards receiving, is he going to be motivated to come back next year?
I think it depends, and this might be a wishy-washy kind of answer here. I think it depends on how the year finishes, and by that I mean, assuming Josh Rosen plays at some point this year, which we all know he will, is the future evidently bright enough with Josh Rosen that Fitz believes he can come back and be productive again next year? You know, like if they finish with a poor, they're going to finish with a poor record in all likelihood based off of the start, unless there's a dramatic turnaround. But if Rosen in the last six games starts to show some signs that he really is the quarterback of the future,
then that could motivate him to come back.
That could motivate him to come back. So his personal numbers might not look that great, but if he believes, man, this Josh Rosen kid, he's legit, he's the future, he's it, that might be enough to convince him to come back one more year.
But if he doesn't,
then I don't know.
I mean, if he just looks like it's going to, hey, he may be good, he may not be, I don't know.
I mean, like, if he has a Jared Goff first year,
I don't know.
Right? 7 interceptions, 5 touchdowns, 5 fumbles in 7 games. They don't win any. You don't know. You don't know what you had. Nobody knew what they had in Goff that first year. He didn't win a game.
Right.
They went 0-7 with Jared Goff.
It's hard to say. It's hard to know what he would do. If it's really going to be that bad of a year for Rosen, it might be it for him. It might. Or if he's feeling healthy, feels like he can still contribute, still plays, still loves to play. It's not going to be for anybody else. He's not going to go anywhere else and play. He's going to end his career here. He said that many times.
Absolutely.
But
plus, there was some hints that if the Cardinals were out of it, could they trade some players? Antoine Bethea's name came up. Could they trade Antoine Bethea? Could they find some teams that would take some of their players? Now, Fitz's name came up, too, in this story. But it was like, okay, Fitz isn't getting traded. He doesn't want to leave.
Oh,
he's not going anywhere. So he'd endure a 3-13, 4-12 season rather than go somewhere else because he wants to finish as a Cardinal.
Bickley and Murata tomorrow live from the grand opening of the new AT&T store on the corner of Gilbert and Ocotillo in Chandler. You'll have the chance to win D-backs tickets to the final weekend homestand of the season and much more. You can also check out the new iPhone 10. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. He's already pulled off one upset this season. Does Herm Edwards have another one in him to start up conference play? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. He had a terrific article previewing this ASU-Washington game coming up this weekend live from Seattle, and he is frequently on the Burns and Gambo Show, our go-to guy when it comes to information about this conference, about ASU football, about the Pac-12. He's John Wilner from the San Jose Mercury News. Great follow on Twitter. We love having him on the show because he just has all sorts of information and opinion about the Pac-12. And we welcome him on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line to talk a little ASU-Washington. John, how you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Great article today about how difficult this is going to be for ASU this weekend, given that it is the second game of a back-to-back set on the road. And this conference, over the last couple of years, not very good when it comes to the second game of a back-to-back on the road, are they?
No, they have not been. So I went through it since starting last season. Teams that have played back-to-backs are 3-14 in the second game, and two of the three wins came last year against Oregon State, which, of course, was over. So if you back the Beavers out of the equation, then it's 1-14 in the last, year and a few weeks. And we saw, USC to me in the second half and at Texas, they looked a little tired. And I think that's going to be a very a big challenge for ASU, especially given how physical that San Diego State game was for ASU's defensive line and, what time they got back, and now they're heading on the road for a long flight. Just a tough, tough assignment.
Well, last week was a tough assignment, too. Go on the road, San Diego State, very physical football team. They end up losing that game. That was coming off of the big win against Michigan State. But Herm Edwards, obviously, every day it is a story. The Washington Post, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, yesterday Sports Illustrated. He's brought a lot of notoriety, not just to ASU, but to the Pac-12. Many of us included, thought that he was going to flop. Give me your thoughts so far through three games on what you think of Herm Edwards.
If I'm an ASU fan, I'm kind of quietly encouraged by what I've seen. Long way to go. And I don't know if, he has definitely made some smart moves in his first, 9 months. He's put together what I think is pretty good staff. He made a real smart move with his recruiting coordinator, with his defensive coordinator. So those things are encouraging. But look, this is a long haul, right? Whether it's Herm Edwards or Kevin Sumlin or Chip Kelly, you kind of got to wait till November of 2020, right? The end of their third year to really get a feel for how things are going. Is Edwards going to be a complete crash and burn? Sure doesn't seem that way. Is he going to do what they hired him to do, which is win that division? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Who is the best team in the Pac-12 South right now, in your opinion?
Oh, man, I mean, that's a good question.
I know, right?
I don't think there's an answer. I think if you played a 16 tournament, the winner would be
Stanford.
San Diego State, you know? I don't know. I mean, we don't have to know, but it certainly is interesting that there's nothing close to a clear-cut favorite. I mean, Colorado, you could argue Colorado has looked the best, but, man, there's not that much evidence there. I don't know. I kind of feel like we're going to know a lot more after tomorrow night, because if SC bounces back and kind of brings a hammer to Washington State, to me, that would be an indication that they are still to be reckoned with.
Right.
But if the Cougars go in there and win, and all of a sudden SC's 0-2, then I think you could probably write them off, and the whole dynamic changes if SC's not involved.
John, we had a chance probably about a month ago. We did a tour of all the new facilities at ASU. They spent like $300 million. Todd Graham was the key to putting a lot of that stuff together and putting those pieces together. Facilities are amazing. It looks like it's really coming together, the stadium and the facilities. I know the rest of the Pac-12 is behind all the other Power 5 conferences revenue-wise, but are you seeing any opportunities to catch up, or are they always going to be chasing the other conferences?
Yeah, that's a good question, a good topic. They will have a chance to catch up because they are going to be – they renegotiate their media contracts after the Big Ten, but before the other conferences. And this is coming up, in 4 or 5 years. So it's a kind of a cycle, right? And the Pac-12 was the first conference in that cycle the last time. They signed that big $3 billion deal, and they were ahead for a couple years. And then everybody else came time to renegotiate their deals, and everybody else passed them, right? So they are going to be behind the Big Ten, and they're not going to get as much money as the Big Ten, but they will be ahead of the other ones. Probably, I don't know if they'll ever be ahead of the SEC, but they may be ahead of the Big 12 and the ACC. For a couple of years, it's all just dependent upon when your media rights expire.
Yeah. John Wilner from the Mercury News, Pac-12 writer, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Chip Kelly's debut, Kevin Sumlin's debut. You've covered this conference for a long time. I actually kind of want to focus on Chip just because he was such a presence in this conference for so long. That this, how deep is the consternation right now in Los Angeles over the start that Chip Kelly is off to?
Pretty deep, I would say. I don't think even the most realist or most ardent UCLA fan did not expect them to be competing for the division title. Right, they got a lot of work to do on that roster. But I don't also think anybody would have thought that they were going to be 0-3 and really get just beat badly by Fresno State. So they are much worse than I think almost anybody would have expected. And they have a very difficult schedule, kind of like ASU. So there's not a whole lot of opportunities for them to kind of dig in and get some momentum. It may just be one of like a 2-10 year, and then they kind of restart next season. But they are definitely worse than I had expected.
This is a huge topic here with the way Sam Bradford's played the last two games. But since you do such a great job covering the Pac-12, you watched a lot of the Josh Rosen games. What did you think of Rosen as a quarterback when he was at UCLA?
Real good quarterback. I mean, great, just pure thrower of the football. I was always a little bit skeptical of him as a pro because of the injury factor. I mean, multiple injuries for a quarterback with a thin frame who is not very mobile. So to me, that's a, I don't know if it's a red flag, but it sure is a yellow flag. And I'm be curious to see how he holds up physically in the NFL. But I mean, we're talking about multiple injuries over multiple years. And not just like a rolled ankle either. So we'll see. I thought Sam Darnold was certainly the better of the two pro prospects. But that's, if you're just asking who I like to throw a single pass out of the pocket, It's probably Rosen, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah. John, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes. We do enjoy reading your stuff and citing your work all the time on the show. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes. We appreciate it.
Thanks a ton for having me.
You got it. John Wilner from the San Jose Mercury News, the Pac-12 insider that we trust big time here on the show, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. If a youth movement is being considered on the Cardinals' offense, well, shouldn't the same be said for the other side of the ball? We'll explain coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.